We're turning to the Word of God this evening, to Romans chapter 5 and Mark chapter 9. Now, I'll not be reading Mark chapter 9 just at the moment, but I will be turning you to it just after we begin to preach, and I want you to open up the place now. Mark chapter 9, but we are going to read some verses from Romans chapter 5. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse 9. Just the first 9 verses of the book of Romans and the chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then we'll end our reading there at the end of verse 9, knowing that the Lord will bless again the public reading of his precious word. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer again and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth this evening. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and we do praise thee that we're gathered together again in another gospel service. We thank thee, Lord, for an open door where we can come and open up the Bible and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And, O God, our prayer is tonight that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit as we would seek to preach thy word. We pray, Lord, for those in this service who are still strangers to grace and to God, that even this might be the night that they will turn from their sin and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for the message of the gospel, that it's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And, O God, we pray that there might be those here tonight who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. O God, we pray that you'll defeat the devil. We're so conscious of his devices. And, O God, how the old devil seeks to blind the minds of them which believe not. How he would seek to snatch away the good seed of the word of God from the heart. We pray, Lord, that you would bind the strong man. Indeed, we would plead the blood against the forces of hell tonight. We ask thee, O God, that you would close us in with yourself. Shut out the world. O God, may thy word come with power. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God might take the word and apply it to every heart, and especially to those here who are without Christ, without God, and without hope in this world. Bless us now, we pray thee. And, O God, above it all, help us to uplift our blessed Saviour. We thank thee, Lord, for the one who laid down his life, a ransom for the many. Help us, Lord, tonight again to point men to Christ as the only Saviour and the only Redeemer. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Very simply this evening, I want to preach on the subject, saved from hell fire. And as I deal with this subject tonight, I want to base my remarks on a phrase that is found in Romans 5 and verse 9. The phrase in this text that I want to draw your attention to is the phrase, saved from wrath. Look at the verse. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This phrase literally means saved from hell or saved from hell fire. Because that's what it means to die in your sin and go out into a lost eternity. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, then the moment you die, your soul will go out into hell fire. You will receive the wrath of God upon your soul. Before I come to deal with this subject, however, I want to prove to you from the Bible that there is fire and hell. Not only does the Bible teach that there's a hell, but the Bible teaches clearly that there is literal fire in hell. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he walked upon this earth, stated clearly and dogmatically that hell was a place of eternal fire. Keep your hand in Romans chapter 5 and turn over now to Mark's Gospel chapter 9 and look with me at verse 43 down to verse 48. Here we have the words of the Lord Jesus, and he's coming here to speak about hell. And we read in verse 43 of Mark chapter 9, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed, than having two hands, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." I want you to underline that little phrase. To be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Therefore, to deny that there is fire in hell is to call the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, a liar. And it is to declare that the Bible is wrong. You see, the Bible clearly teaches, and the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this earth, clearly taught, not only in the reality of this place called hell, but he also taught that there was literal fire in hell. And as I come to deal with this subject tonight, saved from hellfire, I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart this evening, especially if you're in the meeting and you know nothing of God's eternal redemption. Men and women, we're dealing tonight with eternal matters. We're dealing tonight with the Word of the living God. And it's so important that you listen carefully to what the Word of God is teaching here, because your soul's destiny depends upon how you hear God's Word and how you respond to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that you will this night respond positively. In other words, that you will turn from your sin and seek the Lord and be saved even this night, and leave God's house knowing that you're on your way to glory. First thing I want to say is this: every sinner needs to be saved from hellfire, no matter who you are tonight. You see, every person that has been born into this world has been born a sinner. Therefore, every person is under the condemnation of God and heading towards hellfire. Let me say a very dogmatically tonight, that if you're not saved in this meeting, you're heading towards hell fire. If you die right now in your sin, then you'll be lost in hell fire for all of God's eternity. My friend, if you die in the spiritual condition that you were born in then, your destiny is a lost eternity. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In Revelation 20 verse 15, we read, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Therefore, every sinner needs to be saved, or every sinner needs to be delivered from hell fire. But could I say this? No one will ever be delivered from a lost eternity unless they realize their need of deliverance. Unless they realize and recognize their need for God's wonderful salvation. You see, until you see yourself a sinner heading towards hellfire, lost and undone, then you will never feel your need of God's redemption. Men today are spiritually blind to their spiritual need. Just like a blind man walking towards an open furnace without any fear to where he's heading. So man in his spiritual darkness, going on in his sin, fails to realize that he is heading towards the precipice over which he will fall into hellfire. Now I know in this 21st century, it is not a popular message to preach about hellfire. Was it ever a popular message? I don't think it was. Down through the history of the church, down through the history of this world, as God's servants stood and declared the wrath which is to come, the truth is that in every generation it was an unpopular message. Nevertheless, it was the truth, and it is the truth, even in this 21st century. My friend, you need to be saved from this awful calamity. You need to be delivered from this awful destiny to which you are heading. And I pray tonight that God the Holy Spirit will take His word and write it upon your heart and upon your soul. I want you to stop tonight. And I want you to think seriously about where you're heading. And I want you to realize tonight that death is coming, and it's coming sooner than you think. And soon your heart will beat for the last time, and soon you will take your last breath upon this scene of time. And the moment your heart stops beating, and the moment you take your last breath upon this earth, your soul will be plunged into hell fire. That's why you need to be saved tonight, by the grace of God. Look with me there at verse 9 of Romans chapter 5. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath, saved from hell, saved from hell fire. Now, as we just take the three words as they stand in the text, are you saved from the wrath of God? Are you saved from hell? Are you saved from hellfire? My friend, only you can answer that question. I can answer that question for you. Only you honestly can answer that question in your heart tonight. But you'll see here that the Bible speaks about the necessity of being saved from hell. That's what the text is revealing unto us. Indeed, as we're going to find out just in a moment, the people here that the Apostle Paul is writing to, they were a people who had been saved from hellfire. That's why the Apostle was rejoicing, because these saints of God had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and there was a day in their lives when they turned from their sin, when they acknowledged that they were sinners, when they repented of their sin, and when by faith they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they were saved from hellfire. Every man, every woman that is born into this world needs to be saved from hellfire. And you need to be saved tonight from hellfire. Now, I want you to notice secondly, and this is very important. I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners from hellfire. You see, that's what Romans 5 verse 8 and 9 is declaring. Not only is this text pointing out to us the need for every person to be saved from hellfire, but this text of Scripture, verses 8 and 9 of Romans chapter 5, is teaching us clearly that the reason why the Lord Jesus died upon the cross was in order to deliver men from the wrath which is to come. Look what it says. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why did Christ die for us? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from hell through him. These verses reveal unto us the purpose of the cross. They reveal unto us the reason why the Son of God died upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. Christ died and shed his precious blood to save sinners from hellfire. The Savior laid down his life to deliver you and me from a lost eternity. The Savior died in order to provide a means of escape from the punishment of our sins. You know, there are many today who tell us, they would try to tell us, that Christ came from heaven to earth just to live a good life and to leave us a good example. They really believe that. And while Christ certainly did leave us a good example by a sinless life upon this earth, that was not the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. The reason, and the only reason, why the Son of God came down from heaven to earth was to die for our sins upon the cross of Calvary in order to save you and me from hell's fire. Now, it's so important that you learn that truth tonight if you haven't already learned it. It's so important that you get that truth tonight if you have never got it before. It's so important that you hear that truth tonight if you have never heard it before. My friend, there's only one reason why the Son of God came down from heaven and went to the cross and shed his precious blood. It was in order to save you and me. It was in order to deliver you and me from hell fire. Luke 19 verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3 verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 12 verse 47, Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Save the world from what? Save the world from hell. Save the world from the judgment to come. Save the world from the wrath of God. Save men and women from their sins so that they will not be lost eternally, forever. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All these texts of Scripture that I have quoted there very quickly are pointing to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for one reason, and for one reason only, so that he could save sinners from hellfire. I want you to keep your hand in Romans chapter 5, and I want you to turn over in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I want you to consider a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In this portion of Scripture, we see the blessing of God's salvation, but we also see the purpose why the Lord Jesus died upon the cross. He died to save sinners from a lost eternity. Look what it says in verse 9 and 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now again, Paul here, of course, is writing to those who have been saved. And you've got to read the passage of Scripture in that context. He's writing to the saints of God. And as he writes here, he speaks about the blessing of God's salvation. And in verse 9, he reveals unto the saints of God that they were not appointed to wrath. In other words, they had been saved from wrath. They had been saved from hellfire. That's what Paul is emphasizing there. God hath not appointed us to hellfire. And how did the Lord save them from hellfire? Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says there, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath died for us. Who hath died for us. Oh, my friend, in the text we can see so clearly the reason and the purpose why the Son of God came down from heaven upon this earth. You realize that tonight? I want you to see that, especially if you're in the meeting and you're not a Christian. You're not saved. Those of us who are saved, we know the truth. And we have seen the truth so often. But I want you to see the truth. I want you tonight, who are still in the broad way to a lost eternity, to see the truth. I want you tonight to hear the message of the gospel. I want you to open your ears, and I want you to open your heart, and I want you to open your mind, and I want you to put everything else out of your mind. Forget about tomorrow. Forget about next week. Forget about what you're planning in the days that lie ahead. But hear this truth tonight, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not go down into hellfire, should not perish, but have everlasting life. The psalmist in Psalm 86 verse 13 said this, "Thou hast delivered my soul, thou hast saved my soul from the lowest hell." What a text of scripture that is. Sinner, your soul is heading for the lowest hell. But Christ died to deliver your soul from the lowest hell. Oh, I pray this evening that God the Holy Spirit will take his word and write it upon your heart and write it upon your soul. This night, this very night, you need to see the truth of God. If you've never seen it before, then see it tonight. If you have seen it before and you have ignored it, then see it afresh. You're heading towards hellfire. That's a fact. You can close your mind to it. You can deny it. You can forget about it. But someday it will be a reality. Because the day will come when your eyes will close in death and you'll be lost forever. But here's the message of the gospel. Jesus Christ died upon the cross and he rose again in order to save you and me from hell fire. Now here's the third thing I want to say. If you want to be saved from hell fire, then you must come and trust Christ as your Savior. Is the Lord Jesus Christ tonight your Savior? Now, I know that you're quite aware that he is the Savior. And if I went down and asked you who is the Savior, you would say the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. Because the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you could quote maybe many other verses of Scripture to prove that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. But that's not the question tonight. The question is not, is the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior? Because you already know he's the Savior. Is he your Savior? Because, my friend, if he's not your Savior, it's not going to matter whether he's the Savior or not. He needs to be your Savior. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas could say that because the Lord Jesus was his Savior. David said,
the Lord is my shepherd. David could say that because the Lord was his Savior. Mary said, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Notice the personal pronoun in all of those texts of Scripture. My Savior, my Lord, my God, my Redeemer, my Savior. They all could identify Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Now, let me ask you the question again. Is he your Savior? Is he your Savior? If he's not, then make sure before you leave this meeting tonight that he's your Savior. Friday past, it was my spiritual birthday. And Friday past, I was saved 37 years. And I can remember the very moment when the Lord saved me. I can bring you to the very place the Lord saved me. I can remember that night as if it just happened yesterday. Getting into the minibus at the Birches. Traveling the 6 miles into Portadown where the tent was. I can remember getting out of the minibus. Walking into the tent. Hearing the singing. Coming under conviction of sin. I can remember the preacher getting up to preach. I can't remember everything that he said, but I certainly remember some of the things that he said. But I can remember being under such conviction of sin that I couldn't get up off my seat and go away from the meeting unsaved that night because the Lord was working in my heart. And I can remember waiting behind in the meeting. I can remember the man who knelt with me at the pew and pointed me to Christ. I can remember everything about the night. Because, my friend, that's the night when I met Christ and when Christ met me and when business was done for time and for eternity. And listen, you don't forget a night like that. You don't forget a night like that. When the Lord saved me. Can you look back to a time in your life when the Lord saved you, when the Lord became your Savior? Is the Lord your Savior tonight? Do you know him? Have you grown in grace and in the knowledge of Christ? Is he sweeter today than he was yesterday? Is he sweeter today than he was that day when you first called upon him? Do you know more about him today than you did last week? Last year? 10 years ago? My friend, is he your Savior? You see, if you're ever going to escape hellfire, then you need the Savior to be your Savior. And if that's going to happen, then you need to bow at the foot of the cross by faith and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your Redeemer. You've got to confess your sin to God. Now, that's a hard step to get over. Indeed, I believe that's the hardest step because the majority of people in this country in which we live, they don't look upon themselves as sinners. I can remember a number of years ago, a man in my company, and he was cursing and he was swearing. And I didn't say anything. I just listened. And then he turned to me and he said, suppose you think I'm a sinner. My friend, it doesn't really matter what I thought of him. It's what God thinks of him. It doesn't really matter what I think of you, you know. Whether I think you're a sinner or not. It depends upon what God thinks of you. What does God think? What does God think? We were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Our sin is bringing us to lost eternity. We need a Savior. We need the Savior. We need Christ as our Savior. And so do you, my friend. Tonight I exhort you. I plead with you. Come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and then you will leave this meeting with the assurance that you will never be in hell fire. You see, that's what Paul here is emphasizing in Romans chapter 5.
to these saints of God, to these Christians. He's emphasizing to them that they had been delivered from this awful judgment because of the blood of Christ and because of the sacrifice of Calvary. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that you need to flee to tonight. He's the one you need to run to. He's the one you need to trust in. The preacher can't save you from hellfire. The church cannot save you from hellfire. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one. Oh, let me point you to the Lamb of God tonight. Come with me, visit Calvary where my Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain. 'Tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. Would you come tonight? Would you trust him? Would you take the sinner's place? Would you bow by faith at the cross and pray the sinner's prayer? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. My friend, that's all you have to cry. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And I'll tell you, you'll go out of this house justified. You'll go out of this house forgiven. You'll go out of this house redeemed. You'll go out of this house with the joy of the Lord in your heart. You'll leave Bethel tonight, and I'll tell you, your life will never be the same again. And you'll wonder, why did I wait so long? Why did I wait so long? The joy that will fill your soul. Would you come tonight? Let us all pray.